Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming out today, and welcome to those who are watching on YouTube. We're moving into the digital age.
Wow.
We've got some videos now on YouTube, and soon we'll be live streaming. So welcome to everyone. Thank you to the choir, Jenna, Don, Kim. That was beautiful. Thank you all. Thank you. The title of my talk today is Unconditional Trust. And the Cliff Notes version of this is that we can have unconditional trust in certain metaphysical laws. We can have absolute faith that they are going to absolutely work. And my 3 points today, I'm going to talk first of all about the divine creative process. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about the law of cause and effect. And then I'm going to talk about the law of attraction. But first, I'd like to go back to last week. This is week 2 in a 4-week series. I call it Back to Basics. And we go over some of the fundamental principles on which our philosophy rests. And last week, we talked about the first one is that God is all there is. And the idea behind that is that there is one infinite creative force. And that creative force did not make all that it is, all that there is, and then something in opposition to it. It did not create itself and then create something in opposition to itself. That just doesn't make sense. It would not make something to oppose itself. So there is only one thing, and that is God. Point number 2 is that this thing, God, Spirit, the thing itself, source energy, the universe, it goes by an infinite number of names. That whatever this is, and today I'm going to use the term God. I know some people don't like that, but it's short. And today I'm going to use the term God, so forgive me. That this God is for us. It's not against us. It is not here to punish us. It's not here to make us feel bad. It's not here to squish us or torture us. This God is for us. And as I was looking, I came across a great quote. Ernest Holmes, Living the Science of Mind, says, "The will of God and the nature of God are identical. Since God could have no will opposed to its nature, hence, if God is wholeness, peace, and joy, then the divine will for all of us is wholeness, peace, and joy. The will of God is always toward the more abundant life." This God, this force, this infinite intelligence is with us and it is for us. It wants us to succeed. And then my last point last week, it was on this concept that our thoughts are creative. As I thought about how to kind of recap that this today, I thought of the double slit experiment. This is a scientific experiment. It was first done in 1801. That's 2 years before Emerson was born. Not your Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson. It was done by a guy by the name of Thomas Young. And what it showed is that light can behave both as a particle and as a wave. And scientists played with that for well over 100 years. And then in 1927, which just happened to be the year that began the publication of the Science of Mind magazine, two gentlemen, Davison and Germer, conducted a different variation of that double slit experiment and were able to determine how and that the light could appear both as a wave and as a particle. With the increased scientific instruments within that 125 years, they were able to detect things better. And what the conclusion that they came to is that the observer has an effect on the behavior of the particle. They absolutely know this now. And it's even known in quantum physics as the observer effect. And it's larger than the observer effect in standard physics. When this particle is observed, it behaves differently than when it is not. And if we can take that fact and extrapolate it, that if our observation, if our thoughts can change how a particle can behave, certainly our thoughts and our beliefs can affect the world in which we live. We can affect the material world with our thoughts. So, so today, we're going to start off with the divine creative process. We can have unconditional trust that our thoughts will manifest. And Susan, oh, look at that. It manifested. This is our teaching symbol. And I'm just going to give a quick overview of our teaching symbol. It is round. Not that that round on the outside is a fence to hold God in. It is round because it is infinite. There is no beginning and there is no end. That is why we have a round teaching symbol. And the teaching symbol is then divided into three parts. And they can kind of go by different names. The way it's listed up there is spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, law, and effect. But essentially, it is can be thought of as spirit as ideas, or thoughts, or seeds. The middle section, we can call it soul or the law, but it is a creative medium. It is that part of God that responds to our thoughts. And it gives back exactly what it's put into it. And the third, the bottom section is called the body. That is the manifest world. That is the world in which we live, the physical world in which we live. We can think of it as seed, soil, plant. Seeds or ideas, when placed into the creative medium, which is that portion of God which responds to our thoughts, which is in the middle, will create the manifest world, will create what we have. So if we have a seed, we plant it in the soil, what we get is a plant. And what kind of plant we get depends on what kind of seed we put in. We cannot put potatoes in the ground and expect to grow tomatoes. So if we want to have a different experience in life, if we want to have a different plant, we need to plant a different kind of seed. And we can do that. That's the beauty of this entire system, is that we can change our experiences. We can change what we experience in this world by changing our thoughts. And it will always respond to our thoughts. Point number two I want to talk about is the law of cause and effect. Now, this next statement, I don't know where it came from. It was written in my handwriting in the middle of my notes. It's really good. It sounds like something Ernie might write, but I don't know where I got it or anything. I'm not going to claim it, but it's really good. All manifestation is effect and is subject to its cause. All of manifestation, everything that's in this physical world, is an effect. And it is subject to its cause. All of manifestation is an effect and it's subject to its cause. I did go on the internet and I found this really great site. It's called the blog IQ Matrix. And in the IQ Matrix, I found a quote that talks about the law of cause and effect. The universal law of cause and effect states that for every effect, there is a definite cause. Likewise, for every cause, there is a definite effect. Your thoughts, behaviors, and actions create specific effects that manifest and create your life as you know it. Your life is the outpicturing of your attitudes and beliefs and thoughts. Cause and effect. A young lady by the name of Gina Locklear lived in Little Fort Payne, Alabama. Fort Payne was known as the sock capital of the world. Yeah. And when she graduated from high school and left, the sock capital of the world had over 150 mills in it making socks. It was estimated that one out of every pair of socks in the entire world were made in Fort Payne, Alabama. Wow. But in the 4 years while Gina was at school, due to globalization and some other factors, the sock industry left. When she returned, there were only 12 mills left. Her family owned one of the mills, and she, in high school, had worked in the mills. And one of the things that she learned about the sock industry, it's hard. It's hard work, and she wanted no part of it. But she got back, and she had a degree, business degree, marketing. She tried her hand at real estate. She was successful, but it didn't really resonate with her, and she didn't really know what to do with her life. So she went to a longtime family friend. He was the foreman of the plant for her family's sock mill, and she talked with him, and he suggested that she pray about it, and she meditate, and she take it inside and see what she wanted, you know, really would do. And the first day, the first thing hit she got was that she should work for the family mill. And she didn't want the, ooh, I didn't want that answer. But every time she went back, that's what she got, that she should return to the family mill. So she gave in, and she did it. And she returned to working for the family mill. And she could see that the orders were drying up, and the, you know, the orders that were going overseas, and tens of thousands of people in Fort Payne had already lost their jobs. And she was trying to think of a way of something that she could do. She thought about it, and she thought. So one day she was in the grocery store. One of the things that she had adopted when she was in school was a very healthy lifestyle. And she believed in eating organic and eating a lot of fruits and vegetables and very nutritious food. And she's going through the health food section and looking at various organic products when the idea came to her. She's paying more for this organic food. I'm sure people would pay more for organic socks. And so she got the idea, and she found that she was able to purchase organic cotton, cotton that wasn't grown with, you know, chemicals and hormones and everything else, organic GMO seeds, organic cotton. And she brought it up to her dad, and he says, oh, Gina, I don't know about this. We're a small, small mill. We can't be doing all that. So she went to her friend, the man that had advised her to take her career decision to prayer and meditation. His name was Vance Veal. She went to Vance Veal, and she said, what do you think, Vance? He said, I think it's a dynamite idea. I think we ought to do it. She says, go tell Dad. So he did. So Dad and Mom decided to go ahead and do it, and they gave it a shot. It was tough at first, but sales started to pick up. They started to get orders for organic socks. Pretty soon they had their own distribution chain. They had, in the past, they had no distribution. They had no sales force. They had no marketing. They were just a big manufacturing plant. When they manufactured socks, and all they made was one little thing, white, little small socks. And they turned them over to the big companies that retailed them. They didn't have any of those arms, but that was what her college education was for. And she was able to take charge of that. They expanded distribution. They started to sell. They started to catch on. Then she discovered that she could actually dye them with a non-toxic dye, a dye that was friendly to the environment. And then she came up with 8 different colors. They came up with stripes. Today, organic socks are sold all up and down the East Coast. And by now, this was in 2013, I imagine that they've spread well beyond that. But you see, it was an idea. It was a thought that became a thing. It was a thought which was a cause which created an effect. An effect which led to the increased sales, increased employment, and save their family's meal. Thirdly, I'm going to talk about the law of attraction. There are books, numerous books. There are websites. If you Google the law of attraction, hundreds and hundreds, thousands, I imagine, of sites talk about the law of attraction. And not all of them favorable. Just a quick overview of the law of attraction is that like attracts like. I'm just going to give you a really small example. If you approach the world with a smile on your face and you are a happy person and you are thankful for your life and the things and the people that are in it, you attract more people that like their life, that are joyous, that are like you. But if you go through life with a big frown on your face, and you don't like this, you don't like that, you judge people, you're going to draw more people toward you that are judgmental, that don't like you, that don't like other people. It's just the way things work. Years ago, there was a movie called The Secret, and I have mixed feelings on The Secret. The Secret was great. It exposed this concept of the law of attraction to millions of people, and millions of people were able to change their attitude, to change the way they looked at the world because of this movie, The Secret, and that is awesome. But in the process of doing that, and I won't say they dumbed it down, but I will say they kind of simplified the law of attraction a little bit, and it left it vulnerable to attack. And there are scientists today that really attack the law of attraction. And I guess that's okay. But the law of attraction is just as infallible as the law of gravity. Now, here I have a ball, and I can throw it up, and I can have 100% confidence that it's going to come back down, because there's this thing called the law of gravity. It's going to happen. Now, I could also have a little pale yellow balloon and fill it with helium. And if I did that and I threw it up, it would not come back down. It would float away. And there's those who could say, ah, see, law of gravity doesn't work. Told you, there's no such thing as a law of gravity, because your ball just floated off into space. Well, that's how the attacks are made on the law of attraction. Yes, that's true. And there are reasons. There are some times that we don't attract to ourselves that which is like us, and those, there are reasons. There are reasons that for the law of cause and effect that we can set things into motion, we don't get exactly the effect that we want out of it. We can have a desire for something and it does not manifest. People use a refutation to the law of attraction. Say, well, the law of attraction works for everybody. Why isn't everybody driving a brand new car and living in a 4,500 square foot house with a maid and a pool boy? I don't know where that came from. And it's really simple. It's because that we do not have the ability to receive that. Not everyone has that, and not everyone wants that, and not everyone is best served by that. Many of us are better served by doing other things than accumulating things. But we cannot stop thinking. We are thinking beings, and we can't stop it. So the solution is think good thoughts. And we can have unconditional trust in this law. Now, it may take time. And sometimes we have to start small. If we want to be a millionaire, maybe we have to start by thinking about being a hundredaire or being a thousandaire. Or maybe we can get to be a 10,000-aire before we can get to be a millionaire. It's okay to start where we are. Sometimes we do not perceive that which comes into us. We filter things as they come in. We take things, these things in through our own perceptual filter. Reminded of a story, an older gentleman went to the doctor. Complained to the doctor. He says, you know, doc, I'm just not feeling good. He says, I'm tired all the time. It's kind of, you know, everything seems to be a drag these days. All my get up and go has got up and gone. Just don't feel real good. And so the doc did kind of a quick physical and checked him out and gave him a little bit of advice and whatnot. He gave him a prescription for some over-the-counter vitamins and, you know, sent him on his way. Well, it wasn't too much longer. You know, a week or so later, he's in the park and he looks over and here's this older gentleman. And he's walking through the park hand in hand with this beautiful young lady. And they're obviously quite enamored with one another. They're holding hands and goo-goo eyes. And the doctor's thinking, what in the world? And so he went up to the older gentleman and he said, you look like you're feeling much better. He says, oh, doc, he says, yeah, this is wonderful. He says, your advice was just awesome. Thank you so much. Advice? What advice was that? Well, you told me to go out and get a hot mama and be carefree. Doctor says, no, no, no. I said, you've got a heart murmur. Be careful. But you see, he had a perceptual screen there. And we can laugh at it. But it changed the older gentleman's outlook. It changed how he looked at the world. Yeah, it's a joke, but it changed how he can look at the world. And we can change how we look at the world every single day. Each one of us can go out and get a hot mama and live carefree. For the takeaway today, the thing that I want you all to remember, I'm going to go back to our sacred reading. Taking as the starting point the idea, the essence of man's life is God, it follows that he uses the same creative process. Everything originates in the One, comes from the same source, and returns again to it. As God thoughts, makes worlds and peoples them with living things, so our thought makes our world and peoples it with our experiences. By the activity of our thought, things come into our life and we are limited only because we have not known the truth, capital T, truth. We have the thought that outside things control us, when all the time we have had that within which could have changed everything and given us freedom from bondage. And so it is with this awareness, this concept, our idea of our inherent freedom, of our inherent ability to create our own world, that I invite my colleagues, the practitioner team, to join me in holding our congregation in love and light and simply knowing the powerful truth that there is but one life, and that life is the life of God. And that life is my life right here, right now. And that is your life. That is the life of each and every one of us. One life. And that life is perfect. And as we live and move on this earthly plane and we live this life, we have within us the ability and the capacity for change. And as we experience things that are less than pleasant in our lives, we can change those by changing our thoughts. That it is inherent within us the ability to change. And so as we face life's challenges, lack and limitation, we can know that that infinite intelligence, that divine creative force which has made all of everything, has made it available to us to have all that we need on this earthly plane. That we have shelter, that we have food, that we have warmth on a cold Alaska night. For those of us who are experiencing health challenges, we know that that infinite intelligence which made all of everything certainly has within its capability to heal that which is ailing us right now. And we just call forth that infinite intelligence, that healing here and now. We call forth the highest good for each and all. And we know for those that are suffering, that are feeling the effects of separation, separation from God, separation from one another, that the truth is that we are all expressions of the one. We are all godlings. We are all one. We cannot be separated from one another. So we take these false impressions, we take these false diagnoses, and we set them aside, and we know the simple truth that we are all children of the Most High. And we just allow God's love to flow into our lives. And we are grateful. We are grateful for the presence of God in our lives. We are grateful for our awareness of the health, the abundance, the prosperity, and the love of God. And now we can just sit back and we can allow that divine current. We can allow the law to manifest for us our highest dreams. We let it go, we let it be, and so it is.